Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Milwaukee Brewers podcast, joining you as we get closer to the Christmas and the holiday season. The Milwaukee Brewers have been busy stocking the tree with some new gifts for Brewers fans. I don't know if Brewers fans are going to be gaga for everything, but a number of new players have been added. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the Journal Sentinel Brewers podcast, and on the other line is Tom Haudricourt. He is covering the Brewers for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And Tom, since we last chatted, there have been a number of additions. The Brewers have added pitchers Josh Lindblom and Brett Anderson. They added Avisail Garcia into the outfield picture. They added Ryan Healy on Tuesday night. He's injured, but he could play first base or third base once he's healthy again. A lot of new guys, a lot of new faces. Still none of those, like, quote-unquote big-ticket items, and the Brewers do still have some payroll to play with if they want to get back to what they were at last year, even exceed that. But they could field a team as we speak, as we sit here on December 18th discussing it. Does it feel like to you that the Brewers, for the most part, are done and that fans should maybe give up on the idea that maybe bigger guys are still coming in, not that there are many left? Or do you think the Brewers are still just getting started here as they get going into the offseason?
Well, they're not done, but they're definitely not just getting started. I think over a 15-day period, JR, their 40-man roster went from 31 to 38. We were wondering, are they going to have enough players to even have a baseball team there for a while, and it was down to 31. That was kind of the lowest I ever remember their 40-man being at that stage of the year. So they've been deeply involved in what David Stearns finally calls roster construction. But they got some more things to do. They're still looking at first base and third base. The Ryan Healy signing was not meant to solve either one of those immediately. For one thing, as you mentioned, he's coming off of an injury. He had hip surgery. They're not sure he'll be exactly 100% by the start of spring training, but they think he will be. But he's a fascinating, bet on the come player. A guy who's had two pretty good home run seasons in the major leagues. Didn't play much last year because of the injury. Seattle decided to move on from him. He's still young. And so they're going to see what they got for him. He has minor league options, so it's absolutely no way to lose on that. They can always send him down to the minors if he's not ready for the big leagues. So, they've added two starting pitchers, Brett Anderson and Josh Lindblom. And so we can say we know five starting pitchers now, those two plus Hauser, Woodruff, and Lauer. But I still think they'll add at least one more arm there, if not more. So, Stearns now may wait through the holidays and see what's percolating in January when guys are a little more anxious to sign. But I think he's also looking at trades, too. And that would be the best way to get guys that you can control for a while. The Avisail Garcia thing, to me, is the most fascinating so far, because this is a move for both now and the future. It's a move for 2020, but it's a post-Ryan Braun move, too. Ryan Braun's on the last year of his contract next year, and they traded Trent Grisham earlier this year, who a lot of people thought might be their next starting outfielder. But Garcia, with a two-year deal and possibly three with an option, they now know that they'll have three major league outfielders after Braun leaves after the 2020 season. And I think that was important. And even more so than just that, next year when Ryan Braun's getting the inevitable day off, or Lorenzo Cain's getting his few days off, or maybe Braun starting at first base, they can put three major league outfielders out there and not have a bench player out there. So I think that's what that was all about, securing the outfield for a few more years.
I definitely agree that Garcia is the most interesting of these signings, and the price tag is pretty high for a guy that you would think would not play every day if those three guys are in the outfield. So it does seem like they're headed in a direction where Ryan Braun is going to play a lot of first base, and obviously he'll still need some days off. Before we talk more about Garcia, just as a side, kind of looking at Ryan Braun's career, what do you think happens to Ryan Braun after this next season? Do you think he retires or tries to play somewhere else? I mean, do you have any sense at all? Because it's not as if Ryan Braun he's obviously not the player he was in his prime, but he's still a key contributor to this team and could contribute in baseball. What comes next for him, do you think?
I'm not going to say I know for sure. I don't know if he would go anywhere else and play. He does get booed a lot on the road, although my experience with that is when you put on the home team's uniforms, it kind of changes people's outlook.
Yeah, no doubt.
At Madison Bumgarner now will be cheered in Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so
And San Diego fans embrace Manny Machado, hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah,
You know,
I think the late great George Carlin once said on one of his sketches that they're not cheering for the player, they're cheering for the uniform he's wearing, and I think that's so true. But we'll see. He's going to have a lot of years in after next year and make a lot of money. He might just, as we like to say, take it to the house. And his house is in Malibu. That's a nice house to take it to. So, but we'll see. I do not think, the Brewers do hold an option on him for 2021, but I think it's at a pretty high price tag. To tell you how high the price tag is, I think the buyout's $4 million.
Yeah.
So I'm not expecting to see him in a Brewers uniform after next year, but I could be wrong. I have been before.
You can retire to your Malibu beach house right alongside him when your career comes to an end. I know that that'll be a nice setup for you, I'm sure.
I'll be in the gardener's quarters.
Probably. So Avisaíl Garcia is interesting, like I said, kind of a high price tag. He'll obviously be playing quite a bit. What is it that you think Stearns and company love about that guy? This is reminiscent of other moves they've made where they have seemingly had more players at a position than spots available. Like with the Travis Shaw, Mike Moustakas thing is kind of the famous one, the acquisition in 2018 where they got basically two third basemen on the roster and they figured that out. I'm sure they'll figure this out too, but what is it about Garcia that made him so attractive that they would spend $10 million a year for 2 years and maybe even three to have him with the Brewers?
Well, look at the prices this year. The prices have gone back up. The free agent market has returned, much like the real estate market. Prices are higher this year. So I think $10 million for him is about the going rate for a regular outfielder. Yeah, I mean, remember when they acquired Yelich and Kane in the same day on January 2018? Everybody says, "Where are they going to play all these outfielders? We had the too many outfielders thing going on then." And they eventually figured it out, and everybody got all their bats, and some other guys moved on. And so they'll figure this out as well. Like I said, with Braun only having one more year, at least they know who they'll have three major league outfielders after that. And so it covers them for, a couple more years, maybe three with the option. So I just think they when you lose offense like they did with Moustakas and Grandal, and it seems convenient to say, well, let's pick it up at those two positions, second base, third base, and then catcher. But you don't have to do that as long as you pick it up somewhere else, And now all of a sudden they have another outfielder who hit 20 home runs and drove in almost 80 runs last year, and in the National League and in Miller Park is probably going to do even better. He's still a young guy, and he's a good athlete for a big guy. So this is just, one thing I think we've discovered about the modus operandi of David Stearns and company and the field management of Craig Counsell is they sort of amass talent and figure out where they're playing later. And it's kind of cool. It gives us a lot to write about. They don't just stamp people. It's much like their initial outgetters and their secondary outgetters. They just don't stamp people as regulars. They are part of the position player group, and that's we've really had to learn that the roster lines have been blurred. By the Brewers, there's no real black and white. They blur them, and everybody's just part of the same happy family. So I've yet to see a manager complain about having too many good players. That would be a first in the history of baseball.
Omar Narvaez, the catcher that they acquired earlier this offseason, is a left-handed swinging bat. Obviously, Christian Yelich is a lefty, but after that, now with Garcia, with Braun, with the guys that they have coming back, a lot of righties, Moustakas is gone, Grandal, the switch hitter, is gone. Do you anticipate, I would I would guess that whoever they sign, either a first baseman or a third baseman, is going to have to be a left-handed power bat. But I don't know. I mean, it seems like the lefties are the people who are really served by Miller Park. Do you anticipate the same? Is like a Justin Smoke the type of person that they would go after here to fill what's sort of left on the infield?
Yeah, I mean, I think they will sign left-handed hitters at first and third. Maybe Eric Thames is still coming back. You know, he hasn't signed anywhere yet, and David Stern said he wouldn't shut the door on him. Just yet. If they don't find anybody better, you know, what's wrong with the Thames Braun platoon at first base, right?
Nothing at all. That'd be great.
You're going to get 30 homers there, right? So then that would just leave you to find the left-handed hitting third baseman. So, they have collected left-handed power hitters in the past because the ball seems to really fly, especially to right center at Miller Park. They've lost three left-handed sluggers in Moustakas, Grandal, and Shaw, although Shaw had a terrible year last year, but prior to that, he hit 30 home runs two straight years. So they probably do need to come back and get some lefty bats now. Even Ryan Healy, you know, if he were to make the club, he's a right-handed hitter. So they probably are going to, you know, look at left-handed bats. You know, I was thinking the other day, except for his salary, boy, would Brandon Belt be a perfect fit on the Brewers team. So maybe they can work out a deal with the Giants where they would pick up some of that money if they give them some prospects. And their pro scouting director used to be the Brewers pro scouting director, Zach Manasian. So nobody knows the Brewers farm system better than him. Maybe they can work out a deal where the Giants would pick up some of the money. He has 2 years left at 17 a year. I think that's a little steep for them right now. But he's a really good fielder and left-handed pop. Can you imagine how many more home runs he would hit at Miller Park than he hit at AT&T with the Grand Canyon out there in right center in that ballpark? So just throw his name out there. I'm not saying they're looking at him or not looking at him, but I'm just kind of looking. That's the kind of player that would really be a good fit on their team, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I don't know if adding all of these extra guys, you know, to the big league roster creates a little bit more depth where they could deal from the big league roster to get somebody like Brandon Belt. They would have to, like you said, probably get some money back.
Give a lot. Yeah, they probably have to give a lot of their, you know, top prospects. So, but let's just see. I do think they are looking at trades as much as free agents. You know, the free agent first baseman list is mostly older guys. And so the Howie Kendricks of the world, he re-signed with Washington, but that's, I'm just saying, that's, they're almost all 30-ish, or, you know, so maybe they will look to make a trade rather than a free agent signing. You know, if you get somebody under control, sometimes trades are more palatable, but we'll see. They still got two openings on their 40-man roster and could always clear some other guys off if they want to, because I do think they'll try to pick up. They'll probably try to pick up like a bargain arm in January, a guy that didn't get a job yet. And let's not forget, David Stearns has done some of his best work after the calendar turns to the new year. He got Yelich and Kane in January. He got Grandal in January. He got Moustakas after camp had actually opened. He's been known to collect some guys late. He doesn't like do his holiday shopping and then take, you know, the rest of the winter off. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, the only difference is in the past couple of years, the market has taken so long to develop. There have been guys available at those times, you know, late in this offseason. I'm not sure we'll have quite the same caliber of player available this time around. You know, third base, it's like Josh Donaldson is pretty much the only sort of big-ticket guy left, and then it drops off dramatically. So, like you said, I think a trade is probably the best way to address that.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was just going to say. That's why maybe we're looking at some trades coming up here. So
I've seen Kyle Seager's name. Maybe Kyle Seager from Seattle. Yeah. He's got a lot of money on his contract, but he would be a short-term, you know, a short-term guy. Next couple of years left.
Yeah. And they've done some dealing with Seattle. You know, so both last year and this year. So yeah. So we'll see. You know, I think he's probably got his, you know, guys already targeted, and you know, we just got to wait and see who they are.
Yeah, and if this rotation stays put, if they don't add. You know, they're not going to add a Hyunjin Ryu. He's probably too old for a guy who's going to get a four-year deal from the Brewers. I think that this is probably it for now until, like you said, maybe late in the season they try to add one or two more guys, which I imagine would be at the caliber of the players that they've added. Guys like Brett Anderson, who's been effective when he's healthy, and Josh Lindblom, who's super interesting because of his massive success, you know, in another country, in Korea. And we'll see if that can translate back to the United States. If if the Brewers began the season now with this rotation, do you think it's hard to really gauge how their rotation works because they haven't really used the rotation the way that traditional baseball teams have used a rotation. So it maybe it's just tough to grade it. But do you feel like the Brewers would be comfortable with this? Because I feel like it'd be a pretty high level of uncertainty with the five guys that you'd kind of have penciled in for starting spots at this point.
Well, all I can say about that is every year the outside world hates the Brewers rotation. Every year, you know. A couple of years ago, people were begging them for to sign Darvish and Arrieta. How did those deals work out for those teams? You know, David Stearns has yet to sign his first big ticket pitcher yet, and so I believe it when I see it, and I don't think we're going to have to worry about it. They believe in making do with what they have and then going to the bullpen game, and it's worked out pretty good for them. It's going to be different this year because you can't use 40 guys in September anymore, so they're going to have to make some hay before they get to September. But they've always liked their pitching more than the outside world has liked their pitching. I mean, every single year they get projected to not do well, and it's always because they don't have enough starting pitching. Yet somehow they always make it work. So I'm sure they'll try to figure out another way to do it, but they just do not care what the outside world thinks about their pitching. They care about what they think about their pitching.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be adding more starters per se, but the relief market has a long way to go yet. I think those could be the guys you see added late, you know, maybe in a January, February signing. And then they just do what they've done always. Like you said, they don't sign big ticket free agent starting pitchers. They sign a gajillion guys and then the guys
exactly. They defeat you with mass. You know what? They just keep coming at you with guys. They look at their team as like a 30 to 35-man roster, not a 25-man roster. And next year, a 26-man roster. So next year, everybody can carry an extra pitcher if they want one because they're going to 26. But I think they are going to cap it at 13 pitchers and 13 position players, try to split it down the middle. But there's an extra arm if you want to do it, or an extra, you know, position player. So you can depends on how you want to slice it.
Since we last chatted, Corey Knebel, we learned that he's probably not going to be ready right away at the start of opening day. What sort of temperature do you get around the team about Knebel, and if they're just sort of, are we in a Jimmy Nelson mode where we're just sort of, you know, anything we get from him is icing on the cake, or do they still expect him to be a pretty, you know, strong contributor to what they have going on in the bullpen?
Yeah, I think more of the latter. Yeah, this is not a Jimmy Nelson complete shoulder blowout. This is Tommy John surgery, and they've gotten pretty precise on the recovery time and also the percentage that you'll come back from it, too. Look at Brent Suter last year. He was as good or better than ever at the 13-month mark, and that's generally where this lands as far as returning to major league action, the 13-month mark. So I think the Brewer, you know, he had his surgery, I think, on April 3rd, I want to say. And so I think they're looking at May 3rd. You know, I'm just throwing that particular date out, but that would be at the 13-month mark. So they're looking about a month into the season. And then it's going to be like they traded for a great relief pitcher. You know what? It's going to – I mean, can you imagine just all of a sudden the day Corey Knebel steps back in the clubhouse ready to fire fastballs again? It's going to be like they traded for a guy. So because they didn't have him all of last year. It's remarkable what they did last year with Knebel not throwing a pitch and Jeffress melting down and getting released with a month to go. The three electric dudes, two got unplugged immediately, which will teach me to do my spring, seasonal preview cover story on the three electric dudes. That didn't work out too good for me.
Yeah, it became the scintillating southpaws or whatever you want to call them. When it was Hader, Drew Pomeranz, and Brent Suter delivering, and all three of them appearing in that wild card game, and obviously didn't end well. But those three guys were money out of the bullpen in September last year. They were as devastating a trio as you could possibly have. Same situation as 2018 when those three guys caught fire. It was crazy.
So we'll see what, you know, another wild card. Remembering the name Bobby Wall. You know, they really thought he was going to be a big part of their bullpen last year. And of all things, he tore an ACL pitching in spring training. You don't ever see pitchers tear ACLs pitching, throwing a pitch. It's what they do over and over and over again. It was a freak injury, but he missed the whole year. But he's a high 90s guy, and he might be the next Corey Knebel.
Yeah. The Rule 5 draft also came and went. The Brewers didn't draft anybody. They also didn't really lose anybody. They lost a couple guys in the minor league phase. But for the most part, the guys that most Brewers fans have heard of are still with the organization. We've sort of touched on the minor league system not being as elite as it has been in the past. There aren't many top flight guys that you would think would come up in trade conversations or guys who are going to be expected to contribute in 2020. And that's definitely still the case, but is there somebody that we haven't, maybe like a Trent Grisham type for 2019, is there somebody that we haven't thought about or haven't talked much about who you could see contributing to the big league team in 2020? Zach Brown and Corey Ray are kind of the two names off the top of my head that could have an impact in some way, shape, or form. But you've looked at the farm system a little bit. Who jumps out to you this year?
Well, first of all, let me just throw out there that for a terrible farm system, they graduated Grisham and Hira to the big leagues last year. I wonder how many teams had two impact guys like that come up, you know, and one of them's going to be their second baseman for a long time, or at least on the team for a long time. I don't know if he'll stay at second base, but here he's the best looking hitter I've seen him bring to the major league since Ryan Braun in 2007. Drew Rasmussen's a fascinating guy. He's a guy that's had two Tommy John surgeries before he got out of college. Fell down the draft boards. The Brewers got him in the sixth round. He had already been drafted in the first round in a previous year. He soared through their system last year at all levels. He's a high 90s guy. Matter of fact, he's hit 100. So he might be the next flamethrower out of the bullpen. He's starting now, but with a high 90s bullpen, those guys are always candidates to be high leverage relievers when you can throw gas like that. So, you know, Trey Supak had a really good year starting for them. He's probably in their depth chart at starting pitcher. They're a little thin at the top now. They have I do Baseball America's top 30 prospects, and we've already published the top 10, but I know who's in the rest of the top 30. And they've got like this group of like eight young internationally signed outfielders. It's just incredible how many outfielders, and they're all center fielders too. The Brewers really like middle of the diamond guys. So we're not going to see those guys for a few years, but they're going to have a bunch of outfielders coming in a couple of years, and some of them have to make it because there's so many of them. They have two really good catching prospects, Peyton Henry and Mario Feliciano, who's been, they've been playing at the same level. And they might get up to the big leagues at the same time in a couple of years. They really like those guys. They can both defend and hit. So they might have a catching tandem coming. But again, it won't be this year. Catching takes a little bit longer to develop. But I don't think we'll see a ton of help out of their minor league system this year as far as making impact, because they graduated two guys last year, Grisham and Hira, who did make an impact. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Zach Brown, their minor league pitcher of the year in 2018. He moved up to AAA last year. He really had trouble with the rabbit ball. They used that rabbit ball in AAA too, and their home runs were at an all-time high down there like it was in the big leagues. And he just seemed to have trouble adjusting to that. I think he got a little skittish, stopped throwing strikes, started picking. He pitched so poorly in AAA. At PCL is not a fun league to pitch in, by the way. But he pitched so poorly in AAA, they didn't even protect him in the Rule 5 draft. And then he wasn't taken either. A lot of people thought he would. So let's see if he has a bounce back here. Remember, Grisham was disappointing for several years after they drafted him, and people were giving up on him. And then, boom, all of a sudden he came up and played great. So generally guys, you know, that are high draft picks that have had some success in the minors, they're still worth watching even after a bad year. Some guys just have bad years.
So to just put a bow on this whole thing, I think it's funny because the baseball offseason is just frustrating. You've got in the NFL, things are pretty much resolved within a week. All the free agents are pretty much signed over the course of a week. In the NBA, it's even a more narrow window now. You've got pretty much 24 hours of frenzy activity, and then pretty much the dust settles at that point. Baseball, there's 3 months, you know, and so we don't have the complete picture of what the Brewers are going to do. But I do understand why there's some consternation. It's almost as if the number of signings, which was the problem early, that they weren't signing anybody, and now they're signing tons of guys, but none of them are, you know, maybe difference makers, so to speak, in the eyes of a lot of Brewers fans. Now it's almost like, well, are they just going to go with the throw everything at the wall, see what sticks, and not actually bring in true top flight talent? And I don't have an answer for that, because we don't know yet. We've got 2 months to go. So I guess if you're trying to counsel a crazy Brewers fan who's really struggling with the way the offseason is shaping up, do you just tell them you just have to wait 2 months to see what the final product is, or do you say maybe the Brewers really are going in a different approach this season?
I don't think they're going in from a different approach of trying to win. You know, when you have Christian Yelich, you want to win. You know, who knows if they'll be able to keep him after his next 3 years on his contract. What would he have made on this winter's market?
He would have got a 10-year deal. He would have got
Mike Trout money. He would have got $400 million. He's one of the top three players in baseball. So when you got a guy like that, you want to win. So you've heard my comparison before about Rodgers with the Packers and Giannis with the Bucks. The Brewers have the same thing with Yelich. When you got guys like that, man, you want to surround them with some players. So I just say let's wait. I already said Stearns has done some of his best work in January. I don't think he's going to fill first base and third base with bums. You know, he knows he needs some talent there. So let's see what he does. They were more resigned to the fact of losing players this winter than their fans were, I'll tell you that. And once they saw what the market was, they knew they were going to lose some. Let's just see how those Moustakas and Grandal contracts work out over 4 years. You know, if they start sucking wind in 2 years, let's see what Brewers fans – and the Brewers would have kept them and they did that. What would they be saying? How could you have done this? You know, why did you – you know, we told you not to do this. You know, So let's just see. Everybody wants instant gratification, but as you just noted, this is not an instant gratification sport. They play 162 games. We didn't get any gratification in the last 2 years until September, but then we got a lot.
Right, and I mean even what the Brewers have with Lorenzo Cain on a multi-year deal. Not that you're counting on Lorenzo Cain, you know, going in the tank from here, but he had one phenomenal season and then regressed. Well, had injuries and whatnot, but like fell backward a little bit in 2019. And you're almost there's now a little bit of like maybe that long-term deal wasn't such a great idea,
which I think makes this year a pretty big year for him. Let's see. You know, I think health had a lot to do with it last year. But he's older. You know, he was the one exception they made of giving an older guy a long-term deal, and that's how much they thought of him, because there's some intangibles with that guy too. I was almost more impressed with what he did last year than the year before, because I knew what he was trying to play with. A lot of guys would have just said, forget it. I'm going to stay in the infirmary.
Yeah, and I mean, 2018 probably doesn't happen without Lorenzo Cain. So, you know, you sort of have to ask yourself, was it worth it? It probably already was, but
if you don't have run production, you must have run prevention. He's pretty stinking good at run prevention.
He is among the best in center field. That is true. He is Tom Hodricourt, Milwaukee Brewers beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Read everything he has at jsonline.com. Plenty up there for you now. Most recently, discussing the Brewers signing of Ryan Healy, and also there'll be plenty more over the next couple months. Tom, enjoy the holiday vacation. We'll touch base with you as soon as there is more Brewers news this offseason.
Yeah, I'd like to say happy holidays to you and all those who follow our podcast. We really appreciate it. Assuming we don't talk again before Christmas, I hope everybody has a happy holidays, and we'll be talking in the new year for sure.
Yeah, the same sentiment comes from me as well. And best thing you can do over the holidays is subscribe to us, so you know when the next podcast will be landing. That'll be right on your phone, either through Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify. Again, you can find every episode at jsonline.com. Thanks for tuning in. We will chat with you again very soon.